We've heard a lot this week, as we should have, about closing the gap in education and employment, for example, between black and white Australians. Well, now a remote Arnhem Land family is working to establish a spring water bottling business. The family fear if they can't create local jobs, more community members will leave and that'll result in the closure of their school. This is just one of several projects aimed at closing the gap by providing employment in remote areas. But the water bottling business has to clear huge hurdles if they're to avoid joining the long list of failed remote projects. Jane Barton has more.
In the remote community of Mundjawoy, in the far northeastern tip of the Northern Territory, spring water bubbling up through the ground is renowned across Arnhem Land. Agricultural scientist Rod Baker first came here to teach 8 years ago.
The spring is famous for its quality, and it's also got a bit of meaning in terms of the water as a metaphor for knowledge, and so the mixing of different waters, the mixing of different languages, whether that be now European and Yolngu, but also different clan languages.
He was adopted by the extended family who live in Mundjawoy, and together they've developed a plan to bottle the spring water.
So we're looking for a business model with sufficient margins and a robust enough production system that it was going to work in that situation.
The community desperately needs the business.
The most difficult thing is having a stable population. There's effectively zero employment. The family lives, you know, very much below the poverty line. Apart from one assistant teacher position, all the revenue for the families are through welfare, which is fickle, to say the least.
Community members are drifting away to the town of Nhulunbuy, 3 hours' drive away. Mundjawoy now doesn't have enough pupils to justify government funding for teachers. Teacher Yilki Guyula has had to move to a larger community to get work.
I'm really worrying about the education for my family because we don't have enough money.
The family plan to plough the profits into their school.
The profits from the business will be directed into education, initially in the form of paying a teacher to be there to make sure there's quality education happening.
They've invested their own money, gained the promise of a federal government grant, and are planning to crowdfund to pay for the bottling plant. They're also partnering with a Sydney marketing company, 11com. Jonu McCauley is its director of creative strategy.
There's no doubt that this is a big challenge. We often talk about the fact it's a bit like putting a bottling plant on Mars. But we think that if we can get this project off the ground, it's definitely going to succeed. And I think it'll succeed because it really answers what a lot of consumers are looking for.
He's confident they'll be able to break into the fiercely competitive bottled water market.
Right around the world, we're seeing the rise of the ethical consumer or the conscious consumer. And that's being driven right across lots of demographics, but in particular with millennials. And these people, of course, are looking for the things that consumers have always looked for in a brand. They're looking for value, but they're also looking for values. So organisations and brands that reflect the values that they have.
The partners realise they face huge challenges to avoid becoming the latest in a long line of failed remote businesses, from aquaculture ventures to mines.
The margins are good. You know, it does have enough margin there to make up for the remoteness. One of the big challenges obviously is going to be transport.
They have a foot in the door. The Indigenous-owned Arnhem Land Progress Aboriginal Corporation is offering to sell the water in its network of Northern Territory and Queensland remote stores. Alistair King is the corporation's chief executive.
We sell water very cheaply out in Arnhem Land to drive consumption because it's much healthier. So the two ideas just come together really well. And the fact that the motivation is all around education, jobs, skills and economic development, it's what we all sort of work on in the region, because clearly the government can't do it on their own. So we've got to build businesses and build an economy to move people off of social welfare.
The corporation has established a series of other small remote businesses, including a furniture factory.
It's really tough. Everything you do out bush is more expensive. Building, operating, power, everything is more expensive. You've got to be careful that you do your due diligence and your business planning well so that the outcomes are there and they're sustainable. Because Aboriginal people have heard it all before. They've been disappointed plenty of times. That this is going to be the next big thing. This is going to be the silver bullet, and it isn't.
Mr. King says one of the biggest challenges is convincing young people that it's worth finishing their education and getting trained.
In the 80s and 90s, we believe that we lost a generation through social welfare. They just disengaged. So that's a workforce that we lost. And so we need to be committed to that education and that flow through of transitioning to a job.
Other Indigenous organisations, including the Northern Land Council, are lobbying for more government assistance for remote startups through funds like the North Australian Infrastructure Facility. Land Council Chief Executive Joe Morrison.
It ranges from cattle enterprises to buffalo harvesting to get better involved in getting buffalo into the Asian markets, but also getting involved in agricultural enterprises. So there's a broad range of aspirations that Aboriginal traditional owners have expressed to us, but it's been very difficult to get these projects off the ground.
11Com's Jonu McCauley thinks the Springwater Partners' pooling of traditional knowledge and market expertise will be their biggest strength.
This is a genuine partnership. This isn't white fellas coming into a community and saying, this is what we think you need to do. It empowers that group, and we think it's a real role model for future projects.
Yilki Gula hopes the project will enable her to return home to teach in a viable community.
So we can keep our kids at homeland to stay safe and get education for our future.
Jane Barden with that report. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 17 minutes to 9.